Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is anchor man, not anchor lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not married to sweetheart.
Goodness sake, Beth. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not married to sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Happy Monday. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Great to be with you. We are here for another hour. If you missed the previous interview that we just got done doing, Molly Hemingway joined us, and she wrote, co-wrote a book with Carrie Severino about the Kavanaugh confirmation. And it's a really, really interesting book. We had her on once before to talk about it when it first came out, but it's called Justice on Trial, the Kavanaugh Confirmation and the Future of the Supreme Court. That's all on our podcast at radio.com or anywhere you get podcasts. You can go search for the Annie Fry Show and subscribe to us there. And you will be able to hear that as soon as we get that turned around and put up there. This was sent to me over the weekend, and the first time I heard it, I had my head tilted to the side a little bit and my eyebrows furrowed and very confused. But it's kind of gotten a little traction since then. So there's a story that came out in 2017, and it was Joe Biden was attending the dedication of a pool. It was being renamed for Joe Biden. So apparently, as the story goes, Joe Biden back in the decade was, he went to go be a lifeguard in a predominantly African-American community. He purposely put himself in there and wanted to work in this neighborhood. So he starts telling this story about working at this pool and getting into a fight with the leader of a gang whose name was Corn Pop. So this resurfaced from 2017, and I'm going to let you listen into the story. I was telling Tony about this before the show started. I'm like, he's like, no, I haven't heard anything about this. So Tony, you're going to hear this for the first time now, too.
And I have since seen the story, and I have avoided it. Like, if you...
You're going to get it straight from the source.
If you record a game, a sporting event...
Totally.
And then you, like, do everything you can to make sure you avoid all information about it because you want to enjoy it and react naturally. I have done that with this story since you and I talked this morning because I want to react naturally to what's about to happen here.
Is there a sporting event you'll record?
No, not anymore. Really. No. I've never really been one of those people, but I know lots of people that do it. Like, don't say anything. Yeah, I'm recording the game. Don't tell me. Don't give me any updates. I can't stand it.
I was watching, or I was officiating volleyball this weekend, my husband as well, at a Friday-Saturday tournament. We did each officiated 14 matches of volleyball, and Jared is a huge Notre Dame football fan. Well, obviously, Notre Dame is going to be playing on Saturday, and so we recorded it. So we get on a group text from the other family members and friends who are Notre Dame, and I'm like, you have to stop. He can't read any of this. And then Notre Dame ends up winning like 63-5 or something like that. And I am like watching the score on my phone as the game goes on because I am like you, Tony. Like, I'm not interested in that. I want to know. Mm-hmm. I want to know up
and
to the
me,
minute.
And for me, it doesn't change. Like, if I know my team's gonna win or lose,
you can still watch it.
I'm still gonna, if I am that into it, I'll still watch it.
Mm. Now, I didn't want to spoil it for my husband, but I'm sitting here thinking, okay, we're gonna get home. He's gonna watch this game. He's gonna start watching the game at 10:30, and they're gonna win 63-5. And I just gotta let him do it. So that's what we did this weekend. So Tony has been avoiding the Joe Biden story. If you've heard murmurs about Joe Biden and Corn Pop, and how they got into a near street fight,
mm-hmm.
at a pool because Joe Biden was a lifeguard. Here it is, straight from Mr. Biden himself.
This was the diving board area, and I was one of the guards, and there weren't a lot of, there was a 3-meter board. And you fell off sideways, you landed on the damn, the darn cement over there. And Corn Pop was a bad dude. And he ran a bunch of bad boys.
Bad boys.
And I did. Yeah, and back in those days, you see how things have changed? One of the things you had to use, if you used pomade in your hair, you had to wear a bathing cap. And so he was up on the board, wouldn't listen to me. I said, hey, Esther, you, off the board, or I'll come up and drag you off. Well, he came off, and he said, I'll meet you outside. My car, this was mostly, these were all public housing behind it. My car, there was a gate out here. I parked my car outside the gate. And he said, I'll be waiting for you. He was waiting for three guys in straight razors.
So this is the start of Joe Biden telling this story. Is it just me, or is he doing a little bit of Hillary Clinton? I never seen no A's tie, or whatever she said. Like, this does not sound like Joe Biden sounded this week.
He's changing his dialect to match his audience.
And the story took place in 1962.
1962.
Maybe.
Well, this is where we get to the rusty straight razors.
There's a guy named Bill Wright, Mouse, the only white guy, and he did all the pools.
Bill Wright,
he was
Mouse?
The mechanic.
Yes.
And I said, what am I going to do? He said, come down here in the basement where mechanics, where all the pool filter is. You know, the chain, there used to be a chain that went across the deep end. And he cut off a 6-foot length of chain. He folded up. He said, you walk out with that chain. And you walk to the car and say, you may cut me, man, but I'm going to wrap this chain around your head.
Ooh.
I said, you kidding me? He said, no, if you don't come back. And he was right. So I walked out with the chain. And I walked up to my car. And they had, in those days, you used to remember the straight razor. You'd bang them on the curb, get them rusty, put them in a rain barrel, get them rusty.
Do you remember?
And I looked at him, but I was smart then. I said, first of all, I said, when I tell you get off the board, you get off the board, and I'll kick you out again. But I shouldn't have called you, Esther Williams. I apologize for that. I apologize, but I didn't know that apology was going to work. He said, you apologize to me? I said, I apologize for that. Not for throwing you out, but I apologize for what I said. He said, okay, close the straight razor, and my heart began to beat again.
That whole story. The entirety of that story is his way of saying, I called a guy a name one time, he threatened to beat me up, and I apologized, and it was okay. But there were some straight razors and a 6-foot chain that I was going to wrap around his head involved.
Of Corn Pop.
What would happen if he wouldn't have accepted the apology? Was he actually going to assault the guy with a chain
and
from
why?
The mechanic named...
Billy Birthright.
What? Birth Mouse.
And why didn't Billy Birth Mouth go with him?
Because he wasn't
He's
stupid.
He's like, here's a weapon.
I was smart.
Go out and
then.
Fight Corn Pop and the Keebler Elves, but I'm not going to go out and help you. And
oh,
if he
Corn
cut
Pop.
A 6-foot length chain off what was running the pool filter... Didn't he just break the pool filter?
He said that it was the chain. He goes, back then you put a chain...
He said it ran the deep end, is what he said.
Well, does that mean it, like, ran the length?
I think it
or
ran the filter.
Or, as he said, in their length?
I think it ran the filter.
I don't know.
It helped.
There are a lot of questions.
Of the filter of the deep end, for the deep end. But if he broke the chain to give it to Joe...
Never break the chain.
No.
I want to know where Corn Pop is right now.
He's dead. There's an obituary out there. Katie.
Not Corn Pop.
He was a gang leader. Are
Does
you
it say
sad
corn
about
pop?
This? I saw the obituary
and
posted.
He apologized for calling him by his given name.
So the story that I read on this, Esther was a swimmer. He was basically insulting him by calling him somebody else's
Esther Williams.
Oh.
Esther Williams. So he was that's why
So if my kid was diving in the deep end, and I didn't want them to do that. And I said, hey, Greg Louganis,
yeah,
knock it off.
Yeah.
You're not impressing anybody. You're going to hurt yourself. That's what he was doing?
Yes. He insulted him.
By calling him the name of a diver or swimmer because he had a swim cap on.
I don't know about you guys, but
because
I was
if
really
you
engaged.
Used, if in the 60s you used pomade on your hair,
yeah,
you had to wear a swim cap.
Bathing cap.
Bathing cap.
Yes. And he wasn't.
He said... I said, "Are you serious?"
Can
he
you
said, "If you don't come back." And he was right.
This is what Biden says he faced off gang leader armed with razor blade in 1962.
Billy Birthright.
Oh, that's great.
Billy Birthright's going to give him a rusty chain to fight with, but not give him any backup.
No backup. Here's a chain.
I searched Corn Pop, and the second suggestion that comes up is Corn Pop obituary.
What about? Why did the straight razor have to be rusty? I feel like you can still
because it would
fight
inflict
with it.
More damage. Yeah,
no.
Here's in. He died in 2006. Old Corn Pop did. William L. Corn Pop Morris, who died at 73 in 2016. He's a legit dude. I mean, I'm not doubting the story. I do kind of doubt the relevance of it. And the thing that's funny is this is on video. So the sound comes from the video of him doing this. And this was just 2017. So this is very recent.
Mm-hmm.
There are people standing all around him and they're like not paying attention to him. You know when you're at a party and maybe you're talking to someone who's had that one extra drink? They're not like messy, but they've had that one extra
drink.
Just
on the brink of messy.
And they're telling you that story and you aren't even like looking at them anymore.
You're
like
texting,
looking around, and you're looking, okay, do I know those people? Is this my out? Nope, crap, can't get out of this one. Mm-hmm. And they just keep telling the story, and like you're having conversations with people on the side of you, and it just keeps.
There's a guy named Bill Wright.
It just doesn't stop. And then at the end, you go,
Bill Wright, Feather
Moth.
Like he said his name, then he added. More.
There's a guy named Bill Wright, Mouse. The only white guy, and he did all the pools.
Bill Wright, Mouse. Sounds like he's talking to a guy named Mouse, and he's like, hey there
Mouse.
Was a guy named Bill Wright, Mouse, and he was over here. Bill Wright, Mouse.
I mean, I don't even see people reacting in a, like,
gosh,
definitive
story.
Way towards this. They're just like, oh, look, this exists in the world. Thank you, Internet, for bringing this to our attention.
Probably like, how the hell did we get here?
And he says, you know how you make your straight razors rusty. It's like, no, I don't remember that. No,
did
we weren't
say
there.
Put him in the rain bucket?
Yeah.
There's a guy named
process.
Bill Wright, Mouse. The only
Bill
white
Wright.
Guy, and he
Mouse.
Did all the pools.
He did all.
He was the mechanic.
Yeah.
And I said, what am I going
to
do?
He
said, come down here in the basement
day.
Where mechanics, where all the pool filter is.
Sure, yeah. Whatever.
You know, the chain, there used to be a chain that
unimportant
went across
detail.
The deep end. And he cut off a 6-foot length of chain. He folded up. He said, you walk out with that chain. And you walk to the car and say, you may cut me, man, but I'm going to wrap this chain around your head.
It's like he gives that advice
I
regularly.
Said, you're kidding me. He said, no, if you don't come back. Don't come and he back. Was right.
He was right.
So I walked out with the chain.
Do you hear the small children?
And I walked up to my car. And they had in those days, you used to remember the straight razor. You'd bang them on the curb, get them rusty, put them in a rain barrel, get them rusty.
What?
And I looked at him.
What
I was
banging him on the curb?
Then.
How would that get him
rusty? I said, first of all, I said, when I tell you get off the board, you get off the board, and I'll kick you out again. But I shouldn't have called you Esther Williams. I apologize for that.
Shouldn't have called you Esther Williams.
I apologize, but I didn't know that apology was going to work. He said, you apologize to me? I said, I apologize for that. Not for throwing you out, but I apologize for what I said. He said, okay, close the straight razor, and my heart began to beat again.
Oh, well.
At least it ended happy ending.
Good Esther Williams hasn't gotten a lot of name recognition in the last several decades, so good for her, I guess.
Man, is the insult, I guess, is that he called this guy a female?
It's too bad Corn Pop is not here because I would love to get Corn Pop.
You think Joe Biden would be talking about Corn Pop if Corn Pop was still alive?
If Corn Pop was alive, there would be reporters all over him.
What's the moral of the story?
I wonder if Corn Pop's crew is still around. The guys at the razors.
What's the moral of the story?
Know
the mechanic? I don't know.
You could cut me, but I'm going to put this around your neck.
Apologize for calling a person a name that's not their name?
Oh, Joe Biden.
Why does banging them on the curb get them
rusty?
Does
it compromise the metal and then you put them in the rain barrels that you have laying around and then they get some wet? I don't know. I've never done it before. I don't remember.
I think he's saying, like, when there's, like, the water is going down the edge of the street, you dip it in the water to help get it wet.
Is that the only way you get water? I don't know.
That or the rain barrel.
Or the pool, you know? Think about it. Yeah. Thank you, Joe Biden. And especially you, Corn Pop. We appreciate the contribution you've had to nothing that is going to change anything in this election.
I wish we could hear Corn Pop's side of the story.
Maybe, you know, there will be, I'm sure, a sequel to this story. And
what
it will be
doing?
Corn Pop's.
What was Corn Pop doing? He was just...
He was on the diving board without a bathing cap.
Oh, he was up there without
one. And Joe was mad.
Yeah. And then he called him a woman, apparently. And that
Esther
was
Williams.
Enough to cut.
I apologize. Mm-hmm.
Cut somebody.
Not for throwing Biden. You out. Should have called you Esther Williams.
Oh, man. Fat shaming when we come back.
Okay.
Bill Maher had some things to say, and James Corden had some things to say back. It's pretty crazy. I'll have that for you in just a minute. Don't go anywhere.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
According to Carrie, on our Facebook page, she sent me a message. No, not she. He, Carrie, C-A-R-Y, sent me a message. There's a Corn Pop 2020 shirt that you can buy.
Nice.
It says Corn Pop 2020. Apologize or I'll stab you. Perfect. Oh, man. Tony was just doing a reenactment of a good YouTube football coach story saying, we need more dogs. We don't need any cats. Meow.
Mm-hmm.
Does everybody know that? Am I the last one at that party?
Yeah, most people that are familiar with...
There's a cat in the house.
Coach meltdowns and famous coach speeches know that one.
So, have you heard of Bob Green, the Montana Tech?
No.
Football coach?
I have not.
This guy, this is a compilation of different things that he has said in reports with, I guess, local journalists. And we played this last week, but it's so funny. I had so many people comment on it over the weekend.
Our football team was like the kid that plays second French horn in the school band. We got to play better. You know, and that's a double-edged sword, you know. It's kind of like watching your mother-in-law go off a cliff in a Cadillac. You know, you got mixed feelings.
First of all, they got after it hard. I'm telling you. They were like a hobo on a ham sandwich. They were going hard all the way.
He's like that black lab on the first day of pheasant hunting season. He was pulling at the chain. We're kind of like a woodpecker in a petrified forest. You know, just keep busy and look for opportunities.
I wanted to raise my kids using a depth chart. Can you imagine that? I wanted that. Pam Green vetoed that idea.
I got a short memory, just like when I was in the third grade. Two of the best years of my life.
I wanted to raise my kids using a depth chart.
Pam Green vetoed that idea. Did you have, like, as a football player, you were a football player, did you have coaches that had character like that?
Oh, yes.
I think I was a four-sport athlete through my senior year of high school, but I think that there's just something different about football coaches that, because the one interaction that I had with a coach who was similar to that was never my coach directly, but he was also the football coach because I went to the Lutheran school in Metro East. And he just had that flavor about him. There's just something different about it. I don't know if it's the insanity that you have to put yourself through on a week-by-week basis in football, but there's...
I don't like that bottled water. I like that Butte water. You get to eat and drink at the same time. Some aspects look like we're really ready to play. A couple of other aspects look like we just got off Willie Nelson's tour bus. His attitude's positive. He thinks he could take on hell with a squirt gun.
It's kind of like that T-bone steak dinner with all the trimmings. They played a complete game.
You know, with Jacksonville, what more can happen? Jacksonville's so bad they sentence prisoners to attend the games.
Everybody expects you to win. My wife couldn't go to church with me on Sunday, and everybody said, where is she? I said, she doesn't go out with losers.
I had a 6 ACT in 1967. One time I got an A, and my grandma beat me for cheating.
And all the calls I made on fourth down all those years, you know what my favorite fourth down call was?
What?
Punt. It was the most successful play we had.
Oh, I just think those people are probably twice as funny when they're off camera on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
So funny. You played football for how long?
3 years. Every year but my freshman year.
Do you have fond memories of it?
Oh, like tremendously fond memories.
Because I understand that, like, you look back on something, being a part of something like that when you're a kid. Do you think it was as great as you remember it? Do you think it, like, truly was?
Yeah, because it was one of the hardest things I ever did, and that's why it's so rewarding. That's why it's so, great, because you get pushed to the, you get pushed harder than you've been pushed before, and there's real consequences of, not playing and, not being on the team and things like that. And yeah, it was great, you feel good about yourself because you were able to participate in something like that and maybe do better than anybody thought you could do. And
have you done anything since then? Have you participated in sports from a different standpoint where, like I was saying, I officiated 14 volleyball games this week, and I've been officiating for a long time. I've coached.
Yeah.
But when I watch...
Yeah, I coached a little league for a while, and I've done all kinds of different sports stuff.
Do you think the kids still have the same experience, get to have the same experience today?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I worry that they don't.
Yeah, because the losing...
The failure is the most important part of all of it.
It was such a big part.
And nobody loses
anymore. And the toughness of it. I don't think they're allowed to be as hard on players as they were on us. I don't think they're allowed to have as many practices. I don't think they're allowed to have as many contact drills. I don't think that they're allowed to go as long.
Will you let James play football?
Yeah, if he wants to.
You have no reservations about that?
I mean, I have worries like anybody else. Like, yeah, I mean, I want to make
sure. Did your parents have worries about you playing football?
No, I don't think so.
I think that's different now. I mean, with information, too, that we've learned since then about what's at stake.
My dad, I've talked about this before. My dad told my mom, like, it wasn't like a motivational thing that he told me. It was something that he told my mom that I later found out about that he said, he'll be done with this in 2 weeks because it's too hard. It's too tough. He's not going to stick with it.
So you did.
And he didn't tell me that. And my mom didn't tell me that until after I had played 3 years.
Wow. I thought you were going to say 3 weeks.
No. After I played.
2.5 weeks.
And found it. And he said, I didn't think that you were going to, I didn't think that you had it in you because those first two-a-day practices.
Summer,
you were so beat up and you were so miserable.
Why did you stick with it?
I said, I told your mom I didn't think you were gonna make it because I loved it because it was rewarding to be a part of something like that.
Isn't it interesting, especially now that you're a parent, you have three kids in varying ages with a teenager and 8 or 9?
What,
Maggie?
Your middle.
She's 9.
She's 9
just
now?
Turned 9.
Okay, because I have a 9-year-old. 9 is my eldest, so we have a kid that's about the same age.
Yep.
But my other two are 7 and 3, and you've got a 2-year-old, right?
And a 16-year-old.
So 2, 9, and 16. But isn't it interesting? I'm always fascinated by how much and how our kids are able to take, how resilient they actually are, and how compelled I am to protect them from everything. It's like when life does come at you fast... my kids have gone through some loss that was very difficult for my family a few years ago, difficult for my family. And my kids are the ones that supported my husband and I as we got through it. It's backwards, upside down, and wrong, but they just are capable of so much more than we want to allow them to bear that burden. And that's not to say that you should... allow them to learn all these lessons as fast as it comes at you.
Yeah.
But when we're talking about like sports, that's one of the most innocent ways to learn the idea of failure. Because what is actually at stake is literally nothing. Literally nothing.
I don't buy this. And I know that there are people that have gone to school for long periods of time and have done lots of research and are 10 times smarter than me that say... that it's bad to have kids lose at young ages or whatever. I just don't buy it. I just don't believe that.
And that can't be good for a kid when you're working your butt off day in and day out to accomplish something and then realize at the end of the day, well, I just worked every single day and I'm going to go into this and I'm just going to win just so because.
I haven't been in this situation yet because neither of my girls played competitive sports. Well, Maggie, that's not true because Maggie
She's
does gymnastics. But, you know, so you either
not necessarily
win
team person yeah. to person.
Yeah, you don't, there's not like a game. Yeah, it's not a game or a one-on-one event and there's one winner and there's one loser. There's people that make medals, that get medals, and there's, you know, not. But so it's a little different, and Grace was always a musician and a dancer for a little while, but primarily
I hear that can get pretty rowdy.
Primarily
too.
A musician. So I haven't been through this with James yet, but I have a lot of because he's only two, but he'll be getting into sports, you know, sooner than later if he wants to. And I've watched many of my other friends that have had kids, boys and girls, go through sports and participated in leagues or games where there was, you know, quote, no winners and losers, that told their kids after the game, yeah, we either won or you lost.
You lost 10-2.
Yeah, you lost or you won. Like, that's what happened. You know, and that's how I plan to be.
Here's the thing, too. When that question gets asked, Mommy, did we win? No, honey, you didn't. What do you want for dinner tonight? Right. Move the heck on. Right. I mean, I've seen, especially at the middle school level, is about, specifically for girls, it might be the same for boys, but I think that, you know, the physical development for boys and girls at middle school is very different. But in middle school, you can out-hustle and out-learn athletes who are blessed with God-given talent who won't hustle and won't learn. That balance shifts after middle school, starts to shift in favor of the talent, where if you are just, you know, touched with the talent to play a specific sport, that will carry more weight the older you get. However, watching from my perspective as a sports official and not having any vested interest whatsoever in who wins a game or who loses a game, I spend, especially this weekend, an enormous amount of time watching parents parent their kids and watching coaches coach their kids. Because I am both a parent and have been a coach and will probably be coaching my daughter in like Y League volleyball this year. It'll be real intense. We're going to have 6 practices a week. No, I'm kidding. But that's like kind of the idea that I'm saying here is these kids start to show a lot of talent and put the pressure on themselves, or they don't start to show the talent that their parents want and their parents have a rough time coming to grips with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see it in some parents where they're having the realization that what they kind of hoped for this athletic future for their child isn't culminating the way they expected it. And some parents are having an internal struggle with that, but they still embrace their kid with a hug after a good game and after a bad game. And then there are the parents who don't. And I see that and I think to myself, we have two ends of the spectrum that you can see on full display in the youth sports world. The one is what Tony was talking about, where we don't want anybody to lose because you don't want anybody to feel as though they're a loser. I'm going to tell you what, folks, the number one way to learn how to win is to lose, maybe multiple times even. If you want to find out what kind of motivation you have, you lose, and then you prepare so that you win. The other end of the spectrum are the people who will talk their kids out of ever wanting to play the sport again, because they want it more than their kids do, and their kids feel like they're never going to meet those expectations. And those are on display at every youth sporting event across the country every day, and it's really sad. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, Bill Maher went off on the idea of fat shaming. He even suggested that maybe we need to bring fat shaming back. Not maybe, that we do. And James Corden, who actually ironically tapes his show in the same studio building that Bill Maher does, had something to say about that. I'll play that for you and get your reaction as soon as we return to Go Anywhere.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Happy Monday. Monday is winding down. That's a good thing, right? You can check out our podcast at radio.com or anywhere you get your podcasts. It's available there. Just type in Annie Fry Show and go subscribe there, and you'll never miss a beat. Molly Hemingway was on with us at 1:40, and she co-authored a book along with Carrie Severino called Justice on Trial, The Kavanaugh Confirmation and the Future of the Supreme Court. They deep dive into everything that took place during the confirmation hearings. And that book is a great, great read when it comes to finding out some of the dirty stuff that went on behind the scenes. So we spoke to her about those allegations that have just come out here recently. Mitch McConnell has been on the Senate floor addressing those issues as well in the last 15 minutes or so. So this is an issue that has the attention of the country once again. But I don't see it. I don't know. I just don't see it getting the legs that the people need it to. I'm interested in why this controversy is coming up right now. And time will only tell because of that. Bill Maher is apt to be very shock centered when he is approaching any specific topic. He is not somebody who really minces words. He was talking about fat shaming. And I think this is an interesting conversation in the same context as we're talking about sports and youth sports specifically, and allowing kids to lose and needing to have that honesty. Well, Bill Maher, of course, as he does, takes this whole concept a step further. He's talking about fat shaming. Listen to what he says here.
Being fat isn't a birth defect. Nobody comes out of the womb needing to buy two seats on the airplane. We have gone to this weird place where fat is good. It's pointing out that fat is unhealthy. That's what's bad. Fat shaming doesn't need to end. It needs to make a comeback. Some amount of shame is good.
Wow. So Bill Maher just putting that out there. I mean, the very, very high horse with which he sits upon on a daily basis is going to be a long way down when he gets knocked off of it. Well, James Corden, who is a nighttime show host, I find him very entertaining. Just in general, what he brings to the table. He's not appointment television for me, but I think his... What is it? Carpool Karaoke?
He has very good ideas.
Yes.
Very fun ideas.
He does not take himself so seriously, but he's also not a specifically slim individual. Well, he had to respond to Bill Maher.
A lack of shame is not the issue here. If making fun of fat people made them lose weight, there'd be no fat kids in schools, and I'd have a six-pack by now, right? Until we make healthy food and healthcare more accessible, and we properly educate people on nutrition and exercise, maybe we can hold back on the whole cool fat people virgins until they lose weight strategy, right? And I believe that Bill's heart is in the right place. And I truly like that he cares about the condition of my heart, and I will keep trying all the time. I am aware today that this is going to be a struggle that I will face for the rest of my life, right? But in the meantime, Bill, please hear me when I say this. While you're encouraging people to think about what goes into their mouths, just think a little harder about what comes out of yours.
I love that line
for him. He's so great.
So good. The reason why this conversation is really interesting to me is specifically because there is truth in both arguments, not specifically that Bill Maher is on when he says that we need to bring back fat shaming, but because of political correctness in our culture, we aren't allowed to talk about anything unless we've been given permission to talk about it. So everybody's afraid to, you know, speak up about anything. Every single time we have a body issue come out, which the body issue, is that Sports Illustrated or is that ESPN? I think it's ESPN. Is it ESPN? I don't know.
The body issue is ESPN.
Because it's athletes that are...
Yeah. Naked.
Completely naked, but posed in a quote-unquote tasteful way, so you can see what these athletes
Sports
look
Illustrated
like.
Does the painted swimsuits as part of their swimsuit edition, so they're essentially naked, too.
Yeah, and every time one of those magazines comes out, they have been much more inclusive of different kinds of body styles and shapes where it's not just like you need to be perfectly fit or a size double zero or whatever. I think it's good to be inclusive of other body styles and body shapes. And Katie, you and I have talked a lot about the difference. Somewhere between my age of 35 and your age of 26, there has been there's been an increase in body acceptance.
Correct. And body positivity. That's like the big thing, is that everyone's saying, you can be a curvy girl and be a model. That's totally fine.
What I don't understand is why Bill Maher has to even be concerned about somebody else's weight. Like, you can, Bill Maher can have whatever thoughts he has in his head when he sees a person and he makes his own judgment on how he feels about the way somebody looks. It's his opinion. We all have opinions. But why does it matter what everybody else is doing? If you live in a world where you want to have universal health care, it's what's kind of interesting about what James Corden is saying in defense of people who are struggling with their weight. He talks about, until we have better health care coverage for everyone, it's going to be rough if you universalize health care. People who are like a higher percentage overweight are going to cost the system more, and there are going to be penalties for things like that. There are going to be penalties for people who smoke. There are going to be penalties for people who vape, who drink, mm-hmm. who likely speed too much and get too many speeding tickets, because you are going to then become an extra tax on a universal healthcare system. Which is why anytime we take an issue like this, or like vaping or whatever, and we decide to put it under the government's control, we are going to trip ourselves up around corners that we did not see coming. Bill Maher, mind your business.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
The beauty of being in America is, if I want to eat 8 cheeseburgers a day, guess what I'm going to do?
Yeah.
I'm going to eat 8 cheeseburgers a day. If I want to eat a salad, I can do that, because there's nobody that's going to tell me otherwise, because mm-hmm. we're living in America. So, Bill Maher, why are you so preoccupied with making other people feel so badly about themselves and not having fingers pointed back at you?
Mm-hmm.
Work on yourself and preoccupy yourself with you.
And the truth also is that the people who are overweight might be people who do eat salads a lot. And the people who are underweight might be people who do eat a lot of cheeseburgers.
Right.
And we just don't know the lives that other people are living. But if you do want to get in the head of somebody and you do want to make them feel bad about themselves because you've put yourself in a position of elitism where you have given yourself the right and the position, the perspective to weigh in on how somebody else lives their life, that's very non-progressively liberal of you.
We're trying to avoid the bully culture. We're not trying to say, like, oh, everything has to be PC, but we're trying to get away from bullying other people and their life choices. Why are you now saying, let's be proactive about it?
Well, I know that I do watch James Corden's show from time to time, and I don't watch Bill Maher's show from time to time. So in that capacity, James, point for you. Just kind of blows my mind to think that somebody like Bill Maher would get away with saying something like that, because if somebody who was knowingly not on the left, who was knowingly on the right, or what I would call far right, because Bill Maher is certainly far left, would not get away with saying something like that. And it's just kind of a passing story. And I mean, that part of what, that 20 seconds of what Bill Maher said is not the full point that he made. There's more where that came from. Thanks for listening today. Molly Hemingway on the podcast. If you missed it, podcast it at radio.com, iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts at. And make sure you go like the Facebook page. I want to try to collect 10,000 likes, and we're itching a little bit closer to that mark. That would be so amazing to be able to have 10,000 likes on the Facebook page. Facebook.com/Annie Fry Show. If you haven't liked it yet, go there. Comment on stuff. I'm not going to say I read every comment, but I try to read every comment. I bet I read 90% of them, and I often interact with them as well. So Facebook.com/Annie Fry Show, on Twitter @AnnieFryShow. The Dave Glover Show, going to have you laughing all the way home. Coming up next, don't go anywhere.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.